Blog Talk Radio.
Home for the past several weeks of the book club and will continue to be the home of the book club for the next several weeks. I am Michelle Hollinger, your very grateful host, and I just want to really extend to you my gratitude and my thanks for listening to this show and being a part of this very, really important conversation about sisterhood. I am blessed beyond belief that I get to have this conversation, that I have the interest in sisterhood, and that I am committed, I am deeply, sincerely committed to helping to elevate sisterhood in every possible way and during every possible opportunity that I can. So thank you all for hanging out with me, and just know that I'm extremely grateful that you choose to spend a portion of your Wednesday night listening to this radio show. Let's do some housekeeping before I get into tonight's discussion. Where do we start? Facebook. I have a Facebook page that is called The Sisterhood Exchange, and I encourage you, if you are on Facebook, to like, click on the like button for that page. I keep it up to date. I usually post information about the radio show, reminders about the radio show, and then anything and everything that has to do with uplifting sisterhood. I try to motivate us women, try to encourage us, challenge us sometimes, because sometimes we need to be challenged as it relates to how we are behaving with sisterhood, how we are showing up or allowing sisterhood to show up in our lives. So I encourage you to check out that page, like it. If you're on Facebook, if you're considering going on Facebook, it's a good reason to get on, to be a part of that Facebook page. The other thing I want to encourage you to do, if you're listening online, if you would, on the website for the radio show, there's a blue follow tab. If you would click on that to become a follower of the show, that helps me tremendously, because the company automatically sends out a reminder to all of the followers like an hour or so before the show, and then right before the show starts, the company sends out, Blog Talk Radio sends out another reminder. So that's very beneficial. So if you haven't already, please click on the like button the follow tab. I'm stuck on Facebook. The follow tab on the website to become a follower of the show. And then the other thing, what is the other thing? The telephone number, if you want to call in with questions, comments, or brilliant insights, I am so just welcoming of that kind of interaction. You can call me at 646-595-2081. When you call in, if you want to join me on the air, there, you'll get an indication to press 1, and you can do that, and I'll get a notice on my studio screen to bring you onto the show, and I would be more than happy to do that. The book that we are discussing is The Sisterhood Exchange, and it is available at Amazon.com. You can go to that website for Amazon.com and just type in, you know, in the search engine, The Sisterhood Exchange, and it'll come up. You can order it in paperback, and you can order it as an e-book. Today is Wednesday. Actually, by tomorrow evening, the website, MichelleHollinger.com, will be back in business. And if you are interested in getting an autographed copy of the book, you'll be able to do that from my website, MichelleHollinger.com. Michelle with two L's, Hollinger with two L's, .com. What else? I think that's it in the way of housekeeping. So, again, I want to thank you all for being a part of this very important discussion. I think that sisterhood is one of those things that gets the wrong kind of attention sometimes, and we really, as women, we have a choice with how we want to engage in sisterhood and how we want to, manifest sisterhood. So yeah, I encourage you to just every chance you get to do something, say something, be about something that uplifts sisterhood, because sisterhood should help and not harm in every occurrence, you know. And if or when we miss the mark, you know, and perhaps we do some harm as it relates to sisterhood, then we can always begin again. We can always try it again the next day, right? So what I've been doing with this discussion is just going chapter by chapter, you know, and having a conversation about the sisterhood exchange and how it describes sisterhood, and, you know, going through every chapter that helps us to really kind of dissect and take a look at sisterhood from a different perspective, from an entirely different perspective, because one of the things that this book does is it not only helps us to see sisterhood as the sacred gift that it is for women collectively, but it also helps us to take a look at sisterhood from an individual perspective. And that goes to the book being separated into two parts. The first part of the book is the sisterhood of self, and we spent several weeks going chapter by chapter with that first part of the book. And then the second part, which is where we are now, is sister to sister. And the whole idea behind the book being separated into two parts is that how we treat ourselves, you know, the self-talk, whether we spend time in the silence, you know, how seriously we take our own dreams and goals, all of that determines how we interact with other women. But the most important place for us to start is with ourselves, with our sisterhood of self. And so this book, actually, the first edition of the book is actually in a hard copy that was written a few years ago. And, you know, typically when a book is changed, for lack of a better word, into paperback, the only thing that really changes is the outside packaging, the exterior packaging. You know, the book is not, you know, encased in a hard cover. It's encased in a soft cover, a paperback. But in this case, God had something more to say through me as relates to sisterhood. So the paperback version of this book is entirely different from the hardback version of this book. The hardback version is a wonderful, beautiful book, but the paperback version of the book, it has everything that the hard copy has, but more, way more. And then it's also structured differently, as I mentioned. It's separated into two parts. First part, the sisterhood of self. Second part is sister to sister. And instead of going chapter by chapter in the sisterhood of self, I'm just going to do a run-through of the principles. There are seven principles of the SOS. And actually, let me just give a little description of what the SOS is in case I have people who are listening for the first time. And in the preface, I go into what sisterhood actually is and how it's a gift that a woman receives from birth. You know, little girls, we are born into sisterhood. And our perception of sisterhood when we're born is pure, it's innocent, it's sacred, it's joyful. And as little girls, when we encounter another little girl, you know, we just want to play. We want to hang out. We want to, you know, be in her company in a playful, joyful way. It's when we start to get older and we begin being exposed to different, you know, less positive versions of sisterhood that we learn that there's something different about sisterhood. And so in the preface, I talk about that. I talk about how sisterhood is a wonderful gift, a powerful aspect of being a woman, right? But then as little girls, if we're exposed to women in our lives, especially women that we're close to, mothers, aunts, grandmothers, you know, sisters, older sisters, what have you, neighbors, if we're exposed to women who don't understand the power of sisterhood, and they are women who gossip, women who backstab, women who have negative things to say about other women, then that's what we're taught. We're taught that that is what sisterhood looks like, what it smells like, what it tastes like, what it is. And if we're not exposed to anything else that's different from that perception, if we're not exposed to a more positive version of sisterhood, then we could grow up thinking that that's all there is to sisterhood, right? On the flip side, if we're exposed to a mom, a grandmother, aunts, you know, sisters, cousins who get it, who understand the power and the beauty of sisterhood, you know, whether they agree with another woman or not, they're still supportive. They don't gossip, they don't backstab, they have positive things to say, they're genuinely excited when another woman excels. If we're exposed to that kind of sisterhood as a little girl, the likelihood that we'll grow up with a healthy perception of sisterhood, the likelihood that we'll grow up and we'll mimic that kind of sisterhood is very, very strong, right? So that's what the preface talks about, the introduction to this book. And it also introduces us to the sisterhood of self, which is a phrase that I coined, that Spirit actually coined through me in meditation, SOS. And when it initially came through, you know, I questioned it. I wondered, you know, what's up with this SOS? Because, you know, the actual acronym for it, the sisterhood of self, had not been revealed. And so I only got SOS. And, you know, traditionally SOS is a cry for help. It's, you know, has a sense of urgency attached to it. So in a later meditation, when the actual acronym that describes in this situation what SOS stands for, the sisterhood of self, I was like, okay, yes, I can get with that, because there should be a sense of urgency about a woman recognizing her inner power and recognizing that she has this thing called inner splendor within her, and within that inner splendor is her life purpose. And ultimately, the time that she spends in the silence, ultimately the time that she spends just getting to know who she is, why she does what she does, you know, why she thinks the way that she does, the time that she invests in that leads to the activation of her sisterhood of self. And the other thing that the book talked about was that, you know, a woman can activate her SOS, you know, by following some very specific steps. And there are women who live their entire lives with an inactive SOS, an SOS that is not active. And those women are women who don't realize how powerful they are. They don't realize that they have this innate, they were born with it, this sense of power, this secret, really sweet ability to create the lives of their dreams. They don't realize that they have that inside of them. And for, you know, a woman to go through her entire life, from the time she's born to the time that she is no longer here, and not realizing that she has this thing inside of her that is just waiting for her to pay it some attention, to activate it and allow it to kick into full gear. A woman who goes through her entire life not realizing that, I won't say she wasted her life, but her life wasn't what it could have been. I'll put it like that. Her life was nowhere near what it could have been. And so in the preface, I talk about the SOS and you know what it looks like on a woman who has activated her SOS. Because even though I coined this phrase, it really describes a state of being. It describes a quality that women possess, and I've just given it a name. And there are women who definitely live with an active SOS, and you can see them a mile away because their authenticity oozes from their pores. Their words are positive. Their actions are about, you know, living their life on purpose, discovering their purpose, and making sure that they do things day in and day out that move them closer to their purpose if they have not already discovered it. And if they have, they do things day in and day out to make sure that they are sharing their purpose, that they are delivering their purpose to the world, because our purpose is not for us to keep to ourselves, okay? And so the next chapter in the first part of the book, actually, let me back up because, the first part of the book, again, is the sisterhood of self, SOS, which essentially says as within. So if you've heard the phrase as within, so without, that's the premise that this book is based on. As within goes to the sisterhood of self, the SOS, and it essentially says that the way that I treat myself, the way that I respect myself, the things that I do to help take my life to another level, all of that plays a significant and huge role in the way that I interact with other women. Not only does it does it impact, does it define, does it create my own quality of life? It impacts the way that I interact with other women. And that is, I guess, what we could call the icing on the cake. Because if you activate, or when you activate your SOS, your relationships with other women your relationships with other women automatically improve. You know, it's just a byproduct of having an active SOS, right? So what I'll go through now, let me breathe. You guys are listening for the first time. You're going to hear me talk about breathing a lot. It's you know, one of the most powerful things that you can do on a day-to-day basis, especially when we're having deep conversations like this. But even, you know, when you find yourself in a stressful situation, taking a deep breath is such a gift to yourself, such a powerful thing that you can do, because it just helps you to get centered. You know, it helps you to remember that you're not in this alone. And so, yeah, let me take another deep breath. Okay, so there are 7 principles of the SOS. Okay, and the first one says that every woman has an SOS that is either active or inactive. And I kind of went into that already. Each one of us has one that's either active or inactive. And in the chapter that talks about, you know, whether a woman's SOS is active or inactive, I compare it to faith. And, you know, there's a misconception that some people have faith and some people don't. But, again, it is merely a misconception because everybody has faith. Faith is not a religious quality. It's a spiritual quality, and we're all born with that quality inside of us. Whether we use it or not is another story, right? So there are people who are not religious and who live from the outside looking in a very faithful life. They expect wonderful things to happen in their lives, and that expectation is what we would call faith, right? And faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. And usually when you use faith and you see that it has these wonderful benefits, that you're able to manifest what you want into your life by using your faith, then the likelihood that you'll continue to use it is strong, and it gets stronger. The more you use your faith, the stronger your faith gets, and the easier it is for you to use it, right? The sisterhood of self is very, very similar. Every woman has an SOS, but if it's not active, you know, and then once it's activated, if it's not maintained, if it's not nurtured on a regular basis, then you could go your whole entire life living with an inactive SOS and missing out on just wonderful, tangible and intangible gifts that you were destined to have by virtue of living your life purpose. And you get to your life purpose by activating your SOS. Okay. So the second principle says that the SOS is activated by spending time in the silence daily. And, you know, some people may frown upon that, spending time in the silence. And it's a challenge because society tells us that we're also always supposed to be on the go, always supposed to be doing something, watching something, you know, being on social media, reading a tabloid, watching a reality show, watching any kind of television show. You know, society says that we're supposed to always be doing something. Right? But the people who are here and who recognize their inner power, who recognize that they are on purpose with a purpose, those people spend some time every day in the silence, because everybody's purpose is different. You know, you may end up in the same profession or the same career field as someone else, but the way that you execute that career, the way that you show up with your unique qualities and gifts is entirely different than what somebody else does. And the only way for you to accurately decipher what your purpose is to spend time in the silence every day. What you do in the silence, how you spend the time in the silence, it really should be a reflection of who you are and what's comfortable for you, what makes you tick. You know, if meditation is what makes you tick, then I strongly encourage it. I meditate on a regular basis, and I highly, highly recommend it. If it's not something that you feel comfortable with after you've tried it a couple of times, you know, just spending the time in the silence, paying attention to your thoughts, perhaps singling in on one particular thought, asking yourself key questions, why am I here? What is my life purpose? What am I here to do? You know, when you ask the right question, you get the right answer. When you ask the right kinds of questions, you get the right kinds of answers. Spending that time in the silence is really non-negotiable if you are interested in activating your SOS. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful thing, powerful gift to give to yourself. And, you know, how you spend the time in the silence, again, is up to you. If you want to take a walk through your neighborhood, if you want to, you know, have a specific spot in your house where you just, you know, just hang out with yourself, with your and your thoughts. If you want to write in a journal, whatever you do, but spending that time in the silence is the only way for you to become keenly aware of, number one, how powerful you are, right? That power is inside of you. It's always been inside of you. You know, if you've gotten a taste of it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, brace yourself, because it is there for you to use in the way that will help you to manifest your life purpose and to make sure that the life that you are living has your name on it. Because some of us, you know, we've gotten into the habit or we have in the past, and we may be doing so now, you know, living somebody else's life, living a life that somebody else thinks we should be living, when, you know, the life that has our name on it is waiting for us to discover it. And going, you know, in the silence on a regular basis is a surefire way for you to discover what your unique journey is supposed to look like and feel like, et cetera. Okay, the third principle, let me breathe, self-forgiveness. Self-forgiveness elevates an active SOS. So once you've decided that you will activate your SOS, if it hasn't already been activated, and you recognize that spending time in the silence is something that is important to you, and you begin to do that, one of the things that you will gift to yourself is this deep level of self-compassion. And with self-compassion comes self-forgiveness. One of the things that I just really encourage everybody to do, not just women, but everybody, is to cut yourself some slack. We are so hard on ourselves. We are our own worst critics. You know, we spend a millisecond on things that we do right, but it let us do something wrong, and we just replay that thing over and over and over in our minds. And if you understand what your subconscious mind, how powerful that is, your subconscious mind takes on the energy of whatever your thoughts and words are. And if you are constantly beating yourself up about something that you've done in the past, something that you did yesterday or last week, a mistake or poor judgment, then what you're saying to your subconscious mind is, bring on more experiences like that so I can continue to beat myself up. Self-forgiveness is another non-negotiable, because, first of all, we deserve it. Second of all, when you know better, you do better. That's one of my favorite quotes in the whole wide world. When you know better, you do better. And for us to look at our past and decide that, you know, we should have done this, that, or the other is really a waste of our energy. And you know, it's a human thing. It's human nature for us to do it, but I am encouraging you to stop it. I am encouraging you to, if you are going to look at your past, look at your past for what you did right. Look at your past for your accomplishments. Look at your past for what you were able to accomplish. Look at your past for your successes, right? If you want to look at your past for something that you didn't do right, but you are looking at it because you believe that by analyzing it, you know, in a very gentle, loving way, can help you to do something better in the here and now, by all means. But to look back and to beat yourself up and to do that coulda, woulda, shoulda dance, cut it out. You deserve better. You just absolutely deserve better. So that's what that whole self-forgiveness principle is all about, you know. Then the fourth principle is the effective use of thoughts and words sustains an active SOS. Using your thoughts and words effectively. But guess what? You can't determine what your thoughts and words are unless you spend time in the silence. And then if you make a commitment to go through your day and, you know, on occasion, just stop and pay attention to what you were thinking. One real accurate way to determine what your thoughts are is to pay attention to the words that you speak, because they are in alignment. A person who thinks positive thoughts speaks positive words. A person who thinks negative thoughts speaks negative words. Okay? If you think positive thoughts, the likelihood that your words follow suit is almost guaranteed. If you think negative thoughts, then your words also follow suit. And when you understand, when you just get a glimpse of just how powerful your thoughts and your words are, that words create situations, words create reality, words attract to you. Your words are like boomerangs. Your words are like boomerangs that go out into, you know, into the world, out into your world, and if your words bring back the people, the experiences, and the realities that are a reflection of the actual words that you send out. So if you are constantly complaining, then your words are bringing you more situations for which you can complain about, right? That's the way your subconscious mind works. And the other thing about thoughts, I mentioned before that the average human beings, we think up to 60,000 thoughts a day. That sounds like a humongous amount of thoughts to be thinking, but if you imagine that we're not paying attention to what our thoughts are, and then that 98% of those thoughts are repetitive, you know, we're thinking the same kinds of thoughts day in and day out, day in and day out, and they just are running rampant through our minds. And 80% of those thoughts are negative, right? So we're having the same complaints, the same judgment, the same kinds of thoughts, the same quality of thoughts day in and day out. It is so important for us to get a handle on the kinds of thoughts that we're thinking and recognizing that there is a correlation. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. There is a correlation between the kinds of thoughts that we think and the kind of life that we live. What we think about, we bring about. What we reap, we sow. That's how it goes. That's one of those non-negotiable spiritual laws. You know, if you are a Bible scholar, you can probably go through the Bible with a highlighter. I don't know anybody would, like, mark up their Bible like that. Some people do. I don't know. But anyway, if you go through the Bible, and there are numerous references to, you know, as a man thinketh. Numerous references to, you know, why our minds should be renewed, right? Numerous references. And that's why. Because what we think about, what we speak about, is what we bring into our lives, right? Okay, so the next principle says, an active SOS thrives in gratitude. Gratitude is a game changer. It's a game changer. It changes the way you look at life, changes the way you look at your life, the way that you look at other people's lives. It changes how you move throughout your day. One of the things that I recommended in that chapter on gratitude was to consider keeping a gratitude journal. And that just, you know, gives you an opportunity every day at the end of your day to write down at least 5 things for which you're grateful from that particular day. And it changes the way that you see your day, because when you know that, you know, you are required or you are going to at the end of your day to write down at least 5 things, you're on the lookout for things for which to be grateful throughout your day. And what you focus on most is what expands in your life. So if you are focusing on things throughout your day that you're grateful for, guess what? Your subconscious mind says, okay, so this is what turns her on. This is what gets her juices flowing. Let me bring more of those kinds of experiences, more of those kinds of situations into her life, because this is the instruction, the guidance that is being given to your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind is neutral, takes on the flavor of whatever you give to it. And then it goes about its business. It goes to work manifesting what it is that, you know, you've provided to it. Gratitude, I'm telling you, gratitude is a game changer. Gratitude is just this really, really powerful dynamic that just truly helps you to just see things from a different perspective. And especially if you're working towards a goal, you know, an important dream, immersing yourself in gratitude is a way to expedite your achievement of the goal because, again, the energy that you feed to your subconscious mind is what it pulls into your life. And if you're working towards a goal, right, and you are immersing yourself in gratitude, gratitude generates positive energy, so it pulls positive energy into your life. If you're working towards a goal, then and you're also immersing yourself in gratitude, you're immersing your goal and your dream in positive energy, helping it to show up in your life that much quicker. I'm telling you, gratitude is a game changer. I can't even imagine what my life would be like without gratitude. Next principle is an active SOS provides access to inner splendor, which reveals life's purpose. Another really, really powerful aspect of activating your SOS, because, again, each one of us has inner splendor, and it's unique to each one of us. Our inner splendor doesn't look like anybody else's inner splendor. It's there. It's sacred. It's inside of us. And inside of the inner splendor is your life purpose. And your life purpose has your name on it. But the only way for you to access it, for you to identify it, for you to, you know, bring it into full fruition is for you to spend time in the silence. That's just, you know, that's just how it goes. That's just non-negotiable. The last of the seven principles says that the quality of a woman's SOS determines the quality of all her other sisterhood exchanges. So the first six really speak to, you know, our relationship with ourself, the sisterhood of self. And then number seven speaks to our relationship with other women, our relationships, rather, with other women, with the relatives in our lives, with the friends, the coworkers, you know, just other women, period. That's what it speaks to. Okay, so in the first part of the book, let me just skim through some of these chapters, because some of these chapters are, like, really, really powerful, and I'm just going to do a quick review of them, not all of them, just a couple. One of them that I think is worth repeating is the chapter on, and if you have the book, this is on page 23, listen to your inner critic and then tell her that she's been demoted. We all have this inner critic. We all have this voice that really shows up when we're trying to step outside of our comfort zone, when we are, you know, trying to take a risk and do something different, something better. You know, we're trying to go back to school. We're trying to start a small business. We're trying to, you know, stick to a healthy eating plan and exercise on a regular basis. We have this voice that is accustomed to talking us out of it, you know, because this voice, the job of this voice is to keep us encased in status quo. And anything outside of status quo, anything new to her means dangerous, means risky, means, you know, oh, my goodness, and let me help her get back into the status quo. But status quo is where mediocrity lives. Status quo is where safety lives. And status quo, there's nothing exciting about status quo. Nothing exciting about status quo. Change doesn't happen in status quo. It just doesn't. You know, when you're ready to change, you have to. You have to stretch yourself. You have to step outside of the comfort zone. And so this chapter talks about how you can listen to this inner critic, because you have to listen to her. We've been listening all along. Listening is not the problem. The way that we listen and then challenging her with what you know is true for yourself is a huge part of that whole dynamic. Because if she's saying to you, no, you shouldn't go back to school, you need to question it. Okay, why shouldn't I go back to school? You know, let me do a list of pros and cons. You know, get her engaged. Hear what she has to say. More often than not, what she has to say is rooted in fear and is trying to keep you from becoming more of who you are. But when you start to question her, you know, she is more likely than not to become an ally. The more that you question her, the more that you hold her statements up to the light, and the more you realize that they're based in fear. She's not going to go away, but you can train her to be an ally instead of an obstacle, which is what that whole chapter is about. Okay? Let's see if there's another one in here that I want to go through. The whole, if you can't say something nice thing, you know, just our mothers when we were little girls, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. That is really powerful, because when you think about the fact that the energy that you exude is what you attract into your life, it just really behooves you to just pay more attention to the quality of your words. And so sometimes instead of criticizing somebody, just say a silent prayer, because the energy that you send out has absolutely nothing to do with them. It's coming from you, and so it impacts on the quality of the energy that you are attracting into your own life. So, you know, if you can, just kind of keep it to yourself and send a silent prayer if you are inclined to do so. Another one, and I kind of talked on this one a little bit, if we knew then what we know now, you know, going looking back at our past with the coulda, woulda, shoulda dance and beating ourselves up because we didn't do more, you know, we weren't different, we weren't, you know, more courageous, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have to cut that out, you know. If we're going to look back, you know, and I've seen, you know, in magazines and, you know, on Facebook, if you could write a letter to your younger self, what would it say? What would it be? I think that if you are going to write that kind of letter, it should be a letter of gratitude and a letter that says thank you for surviving XYZ, for enduring, you know, ABC, for being able to stand up to whatever, for being, you know, smart enough to make it through this, that a letter that makes a list of all of your accomplishments, a letter that thanks you for, you know, making it through whatever it is that you made it through. A letter that is full of gratitude instead of criticism. That's what my suggestion is. And then I talked about the gratitude groove. The next chapter, which is on page, I really should put on my glasses. I think this is page 39. Yeah, it says, decide that you're worthy. This is a huge one. Huge, huge, huge. You know, when we talk about the sisterhood of self, this is one of the most important steps that you can take, making a decision about your worthiness, because that's where it begins. Nobody else can decide that you're worthy. Nobody else can tell you, you know, and make you understand from the inside out that your worthiness is something, is a gift that you acknowledge for yourself. I won't even say give to yourself, because you were born worthy. You're worthy just because you exist. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to have anything. You don't have to express anything to be worthy. If you believe that, you know, any of those things has to happen in order for you to be worthy, then I just strongly disagree, and I'm going to encourage you to consider a different perception about it. Being worthy is a birthright, and you are worthy, but we've convinced ourselves that, you know, that we're not. Based on, you know, different experiences, sometimes, you know, it has to do with things that we endured in our childhood, and you know, sometimes it has to do with just the people that we expose ourselves to. We've convinced ourselves that we're not worthy, but we are, and it begins with a decision, and that's what this chapter talks about. It begins with a decision and then a commitment to remind yourself on a regular basis that you're worthy, and then what happens, and this is the way our subconscious mind works also, when we say something like that to ourselves, I am worthy. When we say that, I am worthy. Initially, that voice is going to scream, worthy? Who do you think you are? You know? Or the list of reasons that we've convinced ourselves with that we're not worthy, all of those things are going to come to the surface. That's a good thing. That is a very good thing. Allow that to happen. Even write those suckers down, because the only way that something inside of you can be healed is if it reveals itself. And sometimes, no, not sometimes, all the time, when you make a statement, a bold statement like that, I am worthy, you will bring up things that need to be healed if you have things inside of you that have gone unhealed. So that's really a good thing. Don't allow that to scare you. Don't allow that to stop you from doing this worthiness work, because it is work, and we can't go around the work. The work is the beautiful part. The work allows us to get to know who we really are and helps us to understand why we do what we do. Because more often than not, there's something that happened in childhood, something somebody said, something somebody did to us, some childhood experience that really had a huge role in us becoming who we are. And the only way to kind of peel that back and get a better understanding of it is by spending time in the silence. And that phrase, I am worthy, say it. Please say it. And whatever comes up, do the work. Do the work to heal it, because you deserve to say that and believe it and own it with every fiber of your being. You deserve that. That's just how it goes. You deserve it. Let's see if there's another, the need to be. That's another good one. And what happens with that is, as you do the work in the first, you know, several chapters in the sisterhood of self, you will eventually, if you haven't already, arrive at a place where this inner urge to just be, not to have, not to do, not to say, not any of it, just to be, that the urge to be who you really are, it becomes so strong, and the more you spend time in the silence, the more it reveals to you how it wants to show up, the feeling, you know, that feeling. And that feeling, it really flows into your life purpose. It flows into what it is that you're here to do. Your life is already giving you clues about why you're here. But when you spend time in the silence and you just do that work and you say those kind of powerful things to yourself, I am worthy, and you do the work, you know, depending on what comes up as a result of it, you will arrive at that place where this urge, this deep inner urge to just be who you really are without apology, without explanation, is such a gift. It is such a beautiful gift. And once you get at that point, once you have that experience, then the way that, you know, other women show up in your life, the way that you interact with other women, it will be very, very telling, because it's just, it significantly impacts your sisterhood of self, significantly impacts how you interact with other women. It's just a bonus, and it's sweet, and it's almost effortless. It almost gets to the point where you just start vibing. You know, you recognize how we are connected. You recognize that, you know, what you want for yourself is a reflection of what you want for other women. You just start to recognize that. Okay, so then we got up to part two, which is the sister to sister. And it starts off with the beautiful poem called The Sisterhood Exchange that I love to read for you guys. Let me grab my glasses so I can see every single word that is in this poem. Okay, so the Sisterhood Exchange poem goes like this. You see her with fine-tuned vision, clarified essence. You see her in your home, on the screen, in the street. You see her as residual fear, rejection, unworthiness, and at least one of the isms grows smaller in the distance. You see her, head held high, beaming eyes, her SOS radiating sparks. Familiar eyes reciprocate, whisper thanks to him for her, and unspoken, deeply felt, you go, girl. Mutual lights glowing, lifting, honoring, each strengthening the other through this energy exchange called sisterhood. And then I'll read the first chapter. It's really, really short. Sister to sister. One of the benefits of an active SOS is that you begin to see the sacred in the space where other women exist. You become keenly aware that your possession of an SOS is universal, that all women have one that is either asleep or awake, and the more awake yours becomes, the more you want other women to experience it too. So the more you spend time activating your own SOS, this natural, and it's really innate, we're born with it, this natural desire to see other women also activate their SOS, it gets stronger and stronger. Next chapter, you begin to understand that a woman's current issues did not magically appear, and you're willing to exchange judgment for compassion because, as Sister Maya Angelou wisely told us, when you know better, you do better. Your, quote, friends and enemies are morphing into, quote, friends and teachers. Increasingly, women who want to see you shine start to appear with regularity, just as you're wondering what's up with your growing desire to see other women excel. Where jealousy reared its head in the past, you're surprised by a bubbling joy that now feels real. A subtle desire to improve the quality of the energy that flows sister to sister is emerging within you. Like dormant faith, a mustard seed-sized bit of intention added to an active SOS takes your sister to sister exchanges to an entirely different level. That's one of the sweetest parts of sisterhood. When that thing just starts to happen, when, you know, you see on the news where a woman, you know, did something wonderful, and this feeling inside of you is there's this genuine, you know, joy for her. Not an ounce of jealousy anywhere. Genuine joy. You have activated your SOS, and you have already started to flow into this really sweet variety of sisterhood called, you know, sister to sister. All right, so then the next chapter in part two of sister to sister talks about our relationship with our mothers. and it talked about how if you have the kind of mother who, you know, who has an active SOS, or if your mother has passed away and your mother was one, you know, who had an active SOS, you know, she was awesome for you, she was there for you, she had your back, you know, she encouraged you when you stumbled, she was there to help you, you know, she wanted you to get up standing taller than you did before you fell. If you had or if you have that kind of mother, you are so blessed. You are blessed beyond belief, because what she is gifting you really can help you to soar, right? And so this chapter encourages you to set aside another day other than Mother's Day and her birthday, a specific day where you recognize her and you celebrate her for being this kind of awesome soul in your life. And then this chapter also encouraged you, if you have a difficult relationship, or if you had a difficult relationship with your mother, if your mom was one whose SOS was not activated, and if a woman's SOS is not activated, it's very difficult for her to help another person to activate theirs, because we can't give to someone else what we can't give to ourselves. And so this chapter encouraged you to consider that your mother, even if she had or has an inactive SOS, and even if she, you know, made your life difficult or challenging or whatever the case may be, she is in your life not by coincidence but by divine design. It's no coincidence. Our souls are connected. We selected, from a spiritual perspective, the mother who would provide us with the kinds of lessons that we needed to experience in order for us to be the women that we are now. If you're listening to this, or if you've read this book, then you are, I can tell you that right now, an awesome woman. Because if you are attracted to this kind of information, if you're attracted to this kind of wisdom, it's because you are on a mission to take your life to a higher level. You may already be living your life purpose, but you still want to go even higher. So if you had or have a difficult relationship with your mother, gratitude and forgiveness are also in order, because she's a gift to you. She's a gift to you. This chapter goes into a little more detail about it. So if you don't have the book, I encourage you to get it, because this is a really, really, really important chapter to read, to digest, to take into the silence, to allow spirit to speak, you know, either more clarification about this whole dynamic with your mother, you know, to you in a even clearer way. And the example that I like to give when I talk about the importance of doing this is, first of all, doing this work, forgiving, finding the sacred in the relationship with a mom who may not have been, you know, who or what you want her to be, it is a very important part of you arriving at the most authentic, most substantially successful part of your life. You can't experience authentic success if you're holding a grudge or a resentment towards your mom. And it doesn't mean that this work requires that you have a relationship with your mother, because your mother may not have done work. Your mother may not be in a position spiritually, emotionally, mentally to have a healthy relationship with you. This really isn't about your mom. This is about you. This is about you freeing yourself to live the life that you are here to live. And the person who provides the best example that I'm aware of is Oprah. Oprah's mom. Oprah did not have a close, nurturing relationship with her mom. In fact, Oprah's mom and dad made love once, only once. They didn't know each other well. They made love one time, and Oprah was conceived from that one session. For lack of a better phrase. And Oprah at one point was with her mom. Then she ended up with her grandmother, and she ended up, I think, predominantly being raised by her father. But she was not raised by her mother. And over the years, you know, she has spoken of her mother, but never in a negative way, never in a malicious way. But long story short, Oprah got to a point where she understood who her mother is, who her mother was, what her mother brought to the table. She understood that, you know, her mother provided her with a tremendous gift, her life, Oprah would not exist if her mother and father did not make love that one time. So if that's the only thing that she's grateful for, that her mother made love to her father, you know, that's plenty. But what Oprah has done is, you know, in the silence, in meditation, in just spending time peeling back the layers and understanding this thing called life and analyzing her life journey and, you know, who showed up in her life and why and what they contributed and what they took away and, you know, what impact they had. She spent time doing the work and she understood that it wasn't her place to have resentment or a grudge or anger towards her mother, and she forgave her mother. She first understood that her mother couldn't give to her what her mother couldn't give to herself. And so she forgave her mom, and they don't have a close nurturing relationship because I think they both recognized that just wasn't in the cards for their relationship. But what Oprah was able to do was to attract a mother figure in, by way of Maya Angelou into her life because she cleared that space, that energy and that space in her life where a mother, you know, could have existed, was supposed to exist. She did her work, and she cleared that space, and so she was able to attract a mother figure that was in alignment with who she was as a woman. Oprah Winfrey had a mother figure in Maya Angelou. And the same thing can happen for any one of us. You know, if our mom does not have an active SOS and a relationship, a close nurturing relationship is not in the cards, by doing the forgiveness work, by doing this work that is in this chapter, by doing this work, we can clear up that space, and we can attract into it, you know, if this woman exists, a woman who can be the mother figure that we want to need. So that's what that chapter talks about. All right, I am definitely going to get to the chapter that's assigned for tonight. Let me see. Talked about that whole G word gossip thing. I don't want to go back into that. Just suffice it to say that, you know, if you are serious about living your life on purpose, if you are serious about achieving your goals and your dreams, gossip has no place in your life because the energy that it exudes will keep your goals and your dreams away from you. Gossip's energy is negative, and so what it attracts to itself and to the person who is speaking the words that go along with gossip is more negative energy, you know? And if you want to attract positive things into your life, then you have to watch the words that you speak. And eliminating gossip is a huge part of that. Another chapter that we talked about was Deeper Than Jealousy. And that one, this is one of those chapters that really also encourages you to do your work, to do your work. And jealousy is really a gift. Whenever any of us feels any degree of jealousy towards another woman, the thing that this chapter helps you to understand is that that's not a coincidence. Also, it helps you to understand that you cheat yourself if you stop at jealousy. If you feel any degree of jealousy towards another woman and you just kind of revel in the jealousy and, you know, you allow anything to come from that jealousy, you are cheating yourself. And what this chapter encourages you to do is to spend some time in the silence and to understand that from a spiritual perspective, we're all connected. And in order for you to feel any kind of way about another woman, you have to have those qualities that are causing you to feel any degree of jealousy. You have to have those qualities within yourself. So if you see another woman, you know, excelling, succeeding, doing well, the spiritual fact about that is the only way for that to have any kind of impact on you, the only way for it to resonate within you in any way is because you also possess those same qualities. Now, the thing is, you may not have done your work. You may not have done, you know, what it takes to nurture those qualities to the degree that she has, to the degree that you need to in order for you to manifest the things in your life that you want to manifest. And that is the thing that leads you to feel jealous. So if you're willing to sit in silence and do your work and to analyze why you're feeling jealousy towards anyone, you don't have to admit to anybody that you're doing this. This is your private time. This is your inner work. This is work that is going to take you to a higher level. But there's such a gift in the feeling that we call jealousy if we are willing to put our egos aside and to sit and say, you know what, maybe if I decided that I am going to nurture this courageous quality within me, maybe if I decide that I'm going to, you know, spend some time understanding how perseverance can take me, you know, closer to my goals and my dreams. Well, whatever it is that other woman has demonstrated that allowed her to achieve whatever it is that she achieved or to experience whatever it is that she experienced it, if it's resonating with you in a way that we typically call jealousy, it's a gift. Spend some time with it and uncover the hidden treasure that it is there to provide to you. And then last week, we got to the chapter called Live, L-I-V-E. It talks about, it just gives a template for how to interact with other women, you know, listening from the heart instead of the head. I is for inspire her. V is for validate her. E is for energy exchange. And if you have the book, I encourage you to spend some time with that. If you don't have the book, it's a wonderful chapter to read, to try to commit it. Not you know, everything in the chapter to memory, but to just understand what the L, the I, the V, and the E stand for, so that when you are conversing with another woman, you can rely on that to be fully present, you know, when she's talking to you about something, to really, you know, again, listen from your heart instead of your head. So that leads us up to tonight's chapter, which is Who's in Your Circle? Let me give the number again in case any of you are listening online or want to call in once I start this tonight's discussion. The number is 646-595-2081. If you want to join me on the air, just press 1, okay? So who's in your circle? On page 67. This chapter says, while we are on the subject of sisterhood exchanges, it is time to take a look at the people, specifically the women, with whom you exchange regularly. Focusing on women does not exclude the men in your life. Beginning to shift the way you interact with the women in your life will create a domino effect on the other relationships in your life, and all may benefit. Who are the women in your inner circle? This is an important question because it's possible that the women who are a part of the life that you currently live might not be the women who can help you to manifest the life that you hope to live. If you are poised to take a risk but have no one in your circle who has stepped out on faith, if you are making plans to pursue an important goal but the women with whom you discuss it are playing it safe, if you have dropped destructive habits but your circle still treats you as though you have not changed, you need a new circle. If you are hanging around with people who are content with mediocre circumstances, your efforts to elevate yours may not be met with the enthusiasm that you desire. At least one person who has been there, done that, and can offer positive support is a tremendous asset. Rest assured that the more you take yourself and your goals seriously, the deeper your activation of your SOS, your inner circle will begin to change. Family and friends whose counsel you sought may no longer have the answers you need. As you eliminate bad habits like gossip, begin to L-I-V-E, and become skilled at quieting your inner critic, the energy that you exude will begin to draw people to you who can help you to be the woman that you are here to be. The people you need are on their way. When the student is ready, the teacher or teachers will appear. Take a look at your inner circle. Can the people that comprise it help you to live the life you want for yourself? Will Smith said his inner circle is primarily made up of 5 people, all of whom are smarter than he. That doesn't mean that he does not have quality relationships with others outside of his circle. The purpose of those relationships differ, however. This is not encouragement to discard family and friends from your life. It is encouragement to examine the quality of your relationships and to make the necessary adjustments to help you move forward. Some people may need to be loved from a distance. Others may need to be placed on your do not share your dreams with list. Some people, despite good intentions, have a way of deflating the enthusiasm surrounding your goals. Start to be selective about who comes into your circle, your inner circle. The quality of your selections will improve as you move into a new realm of consciousness. Don't be surprised when the people with the answers that you need appear at precisely the time you need them. The book with the perfect information will seem to jump off the shelf into your hands. The song, the news story, or the magazine article that resonates within you will become accomplices to the achievement of your goals. Henry David Thoreau said that when we move confidently into the direction of our goals, the universe conspires to help us reach them. Blessing you with the right inner circle is a part of that divine conspiracy. Okay. Let me go back and dissect this, undress it, break it down, talk about it, because this thing right here is importante. Very, very important. One of the things that this chapter says, though, is that as you do the work, as you do your inner work, as you activate your SOS and you do those steps to maintain the activation of your SOS, and the relationships with other women start to change, as you start to pay attention to some of the things that begin to happen as far as gossip and, you know, analyzing jealousy whenever that shows up for you and realizing that it's a gift and not something that we should be ashamed of, or, you know, that we should, you know, feel any negativity towards the other woman about. When you start to do those kinds of things, your energy starts to shift and you start to attract other people into your life. It's really important for you to pay attention to that, because your inner circle has to change in order for you to continue to grow. A part of what we do as women, we have this people-pleasing tendency, this people-pleasing quality, where even if our energy starts to shift and we start to recognize that these people that we were accustomed to being around, that we are no longer, our views are no longer in alignment, our values are no longer in alignment, the way we vibe is just not in alignment anymore. But as and I don't like to generalize because men do it too, but I'm talking about women, so I'm going to talk about women in this situation. We have a tendency, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, because we don't want to make people feel a certain kind of way, to hang on to friendships that have outgrown themselves. We have this tendency to continue to spend time in the space of people who make us feel, you know, less than who we are, or who complain, you know, more than we would like them to, or who judge us, or who question our motives, or who just are no longer in alignment with who we are. We grow, and then we feel guilty about allowing our relationships to be a reflection of that growth. We have to be courageous enough to modify those relationships. Again, this chapter says that this is not about, you know, eliminating people from your life, but it is about recognizing that these people that you may have been accustomed to telling your dreams and goals to, now that you recognize that what they're saying to you is not moving you forward, you deserve to modify that relationship. You deserve to stop telling them your dreams and goals. You deserve to start telling your dreams and goals to the person who wants to see you achieve those dreams and goals. That's what that's all about. That is what that is all about. It doesn't mean destroying or eliminating relationships. It just means that you may now have to love somebody from a distance. It may mean, you know, that you have to change what you talk to this person about. And the other thing, too, that happens is that starts to happen almost naturally, because when you start talking about things like, you know, your dreams and your goals, when you stop gossiping, when you stop, you know, allowing yourself to be jealous of another woman, when you understand that feeling jealousy is a gift, and you know, you allow yourself to do that work, other people who have not had those experiences will start to look at you like you are from Mars. They will start to see you as someone who is different, someone who has changed, and you're going to start to feel like, you know, a stranger to them. That's okay. That's okay. But you have to be courageous enough to allow that transformation to take place. Don't try to hold on to something that is holding you back. Don't try to hang on to the type of relationship or you know, relationship in a specific way when that relationship could be a blessing to you and the other person if you allow this natural transformation to take its course. This chapter right here takes some courage to execute, because, again, we have this tendency to be people pleasers, to some of us, I won't say all of us, because I know some women who just, you know, are allergic to people pleasing, and I admire them. But this just requires that we pull on our courageous bone, that we tap into that, and that we allow our yeses to mean yes, our noes to mean no, and that we get away from that whole thing about not hurting somebody else's feelings. We have to be strong enough to, if necessary, redraw some boundaries. You know, some people may not be able to get as close to us as they used to, because what we recognize is that when we allow them into that inner space, what they bring into that space is not helping, but it's hurting. And if that's the case, we have to be courageous enough to make that shift, to make that change. We deserve it. And the other thing, too, is that not only do we do ourselves a disservice if we try to maintain an unhealthy alliance with someone, an unhealthy relationship, we are doing them a disservice, too, because they are not being informed, whether we are informing them straight up or, you know, whether we're just doing it by modifying the relationship. They're not being informed that this is an unhealthy relationship. And so they may still be under the impression that, you know, everything is status quo, everything is hunky-dory. You know what I mean? So, this chapter is extremely important. I really encourage you to spend some time in the silence with this one. This one takes a bit more of a challenge because it involves not just yourself but other people, right? So let me look at some of the paragraphs in here to see if we need to go any deeper into this discussion. So, yeah, the question that I want to throw out to you guys right now is on page 67 in the second paragraph, who are the women in your inner circle? And just start to analyze that. Just start to take a look at it because, you know, when we go through life, you know, day in, day out with, you know, different kinds of relationships, we may not be paying attention to the quality of those relationships because they're familiar. They're what we're accustomed to. Doesn't mean that they're helping us. Does not mean that we are helping that person, you know. We can look at it both ways. So who are the women in your inner circle? Who are they? Start to analyze what they bring to your life. Start to determine whether they are helping or harming. Sometimes if they're harming, they are not even aware that they are harming. Some people just have this habit of when somebody shares a dream or goal with them, they automatically go to, well, what could go wrong? They automatically put on their fault-finding hat. When you are working towards a dream or a goal, that's not somebody that you need to, you know, to be discussing that dream or goal with, especially if you've gotten to the point where you are seriously ready to step out of your comfort zone. You need somebody who has been there, done that. You need somebody who has, you know, has also stepped out of their comfort zone, told you it was scary as hell, but I did it anyway. Girl, you can do it. That's what you need at that point. That's what you need, okay? So, I talked about that in the next paragraph. Let's see. Take a look at your inner circle. I'm on page 68, the third paragraph, and it's that paragraph where I reference Will Smith. I remember seeing a video or something where he talked about that. And, you know, this is Will Smith, you know, super successful, super rich, and he's talking about, you know, the people in his inner circle. Of the people in that inner circle, he's not the smartest one in the bunch. And he's like, if I'm the smartest one in the bunch, then the other people in the circle, you know, they are not pulling their weight. So his inner circle is comprised of people who are smarter than him. And that's a really good thing. That takes, again, putting your ego aside, because sometimes we want to be the smartest one in the bunch. But what can we learn from other people if we're smarter than they are? And if you are the smartest one in the group, then the purpose of that circle may just have to change. You may still need to be a part of that group because you're motivating, you're you know, inspiring the people in that group. But all of this is just to say to analyze it, to look at it. If there are people in your group who are bringing you down, then you have to have the courage to modify it or eliminate it. You some of them have to be eliminated. I'm not telling you to kill anybody. not eliminate like that. Eliminate the relationship. Redefine it. Transform it. Do what needs to be done in order for you to feel good about the relationship, in order for you to be able to do what it is you are here to do. And that is to discover, access, delve into your inner splendor so that you can discover your life purpose. That is why you are here. Excuse me. If you have people in your life who are obstacles to that, you have to examine that and figure out what needs to be done in order for you to have the kind of inner circle that propels you forward. You may need to not have a circle for a minute while you do your work on yourself. And then what happens is if you don't have a circle, and that's a good thing, if you don't have a circle and you are doing work on yourself, you are changing the kind of energy that you are exuding. You are working on your thoughts. You are working on your words. You are working on your gratitude. You are working on your self-forgiveness. You are seriously doing this work to tap into the awesomeness that exists within you. If you don't have a circle, guess what's going to happen? You are going to, with this energy, with this beautiful, positive energy that you are exuding, you are going to attract a circle that's a reflection of this energy that you are putting out. Oh, my goodness, how exciting it is if you don't have a circle. How exciting it is if you have a circle that's not serving you or that's not benefiting you to have the courage to step away from it so that you can create a new circle, so that you can attract into your life a circle that is in alignment with who you are and will help you to move forward. I am telling you that what you put out is what you pull into your life. And that goes also to your circle. It goes also to the women that you find yourself conversing with, the women that you find yourself friends with on Facebook, tweeting with on Twitter, just having conversations with. I am telling you that it is 100% accurate, 100% effective, and when you put in the work, it shows up. It manifests. You know, the beautiful Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman, who founded the Universal Center for Better Living, one of her favorite quotes was, "It works if you work it. It works if you work it." And she's talking about spiritual law. Okay? I don't usually refer to the things that are in this book as spiritual law, but they are. I'm letting you guys in on a little tiny secret. They are definitely spiritual law, and they work if you work them. It works if you work it. If you seriously, you know, pick up this little book, which is only, I think, 82 pages. Yeah, 82 pages. And it's short by design because it introduces you to these different qualities, and it doesn't beat you over the head with it. It doesn't, you know, give you ultimatums about what you have to do. This book is very user-friendly. This book is, oh, God, I'm so thankful and grateful that I was blessed with the opportunity to write it. And I, like I said, I took dictation because God, the universe, poured it through me. But what I was saying was if you are willing to do this work, if you are willing to peel back the layers of your life, if you are willing to give yourself the gift of the sisterhood of self, of activating your sisterhood of self, and then doing the work to maintain that activation, I am telling you that the people, not just the women, but because we're talking about sisterhood, I'm focusing on women, but the people that you will begin to attract into your life will blow you away. And initially you won't even notice that it's happening, but you know, after a while, you'll start to notice that, you know, you're not spending so much time with so-and-so, the person, you know, who was steeped in negativity, always gossiping, always judging. You know, you're not spending so much time, you know, in conversation with that person, and you're noticing that the people that you are talking to are more encouraging. You know, even if they don't agree with you, their criticism might be constructive. They don't say it in a way to break you down. They say it in a way to build you up. They want to share truth with you and help you to grow instead of shrinking. What starts to happen is these people start to show up. And the chapter, you know, it says that not only, you know, do people who are in alignment with what you believe, with what you resonate, not only do people start to show up, but just the things that you need. You know, a particular book will seem like it just jumped off the shelf at you. A particular magazine article. You know, when you go to church, it's going to seem like that particular sermon that pastor preached that particular Sunday had your name on it. You're going to feel like while pastor's up there preaching that he or she is looking right at you because that message was for you. You cleared the way for you to hear it at the deepest level of your soul. This work is important. You deserve it. But it requires that you invest in yourself. And it begins with that whole silence thing. It begins with that. You know, we as human beings, we run from silence. You know, we walk in the door and the first thing we do is we turn on the TV or we turn on the radio. We get in the car and the first thing we do is we turn on the radio because our silence is challenging. Silence is challenging because the thoughts that are coming up in the silence, we're not ready to handle it. We're not ready to look at them for what they really are. We're not ready to strip them down because it may require that we go through some painful stuff. But there's no way around it. We have to go through it. We have to. And the other thing I want to encourage you guys is as you do this work, you know, if it's really, really challenging for you, if it's really bringing up stuff that you can't move through on your own, therapy is essential. Therapy is powerful. You know, in the black community, mental health has gotten a bad name. You know, we have this stigma in the black community that, you know, we're not supposed to see a therapist, we're not supposed to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist because that's not for us. It is for us. We've been through a lot. We've been through a lot. And there are skilled therapists. If you know, find a black one if you need to. But there are skilled therapists of every race, every ethnicity, every gender who can help us work through this stuff if that's what we need to have done. And I'm encouraging you that you know, as you do this work, it may bring up stuff for you that's deeply painful, that's deeply traumatic. And if that's the case, a therapist can become such a tremendous asset for you. I have gone to therapy on more than one occasion. And I highly recommend it. It doesn't make you crazy, doesn't make you nutty, doesn't make you anything but a healthy, strong person who wants to access her inner splendor, tap into her life purpose, and live her life fully with her name on it, without apology and without explanation. That's what it's all about. That is what it's all about, people. I feel like singing. I feel so happy about this, sharing this with you guys. I'm so thankful and grateful that I get to talk about it because, man, when all of us really, really, really understand this thing called sisterhood and we understand that it starts with us, you know, the book is called The Sisterhood Exchange, but it's really, the focus is really not primarily on how we exchange with other women. The most important exchange you will ever have is the one that you have with yourself. And this book guides you. It shows you how to be gentle with yourself. It shows you why you are worthy of love, why you are worthy of worthiness, you know, why you really should invest in yourself and do the work that is necessary so that you are constantly moving forward, becoming more of who you are, never less, always becoming more. Everything that we are here to do is already inside of us. Every aspect of the person that we are here to become is already inside of us. But we have to do the work to get to it. We have to be willing to get off of Facebook, get off of Twitter, turn off the TV, turn off the radio, put down the tablet. We have to be willing to say, you know what, at least what for whatever period of time every day, and I'm not saying that we have to give those things up permanently. It's a part of life, you know, in moderation. What I'm saying is you deserve to spend the time investing in yourself in order to move forward, to become more and not less of who you are. That's all that I am saying. And the thing that can help you to do that is this beautiful book called The Sisterhood Exchange. And again, it's available on Amazon.com in the paperback. If you get the paperback, get the revised and updated edition. It says so right there on the book. If you get the e-book, also get the revised and updated edition, because there's some older versions of it, and I want to make sure that you get the one that has the two parts, the Sisterhood of Self and Sister to Sister. And then, again, also, though, my website is being updated so that if you're interested in an autographed version, an autographed copy of the book, rather, you will be able to go to my website definitely by tomorrow evening, michellehollinger.com, to get an autographed version that I'll be happy to get out to you. I'm going to have some really big news in the coming weeks, because this information, it just can't be contained in the book and in the radio show. So there will be some other opportunities for us to get together to really have, you know, some deep, significant conversations about primarily the sisterhood of self. That's what I'm primarily concerned with, because, as I said, you know, when we get that, when we activate our SOS, when we realize how awesome we are, how courageous we are, and we're about the business of living our lives fully, the way we interact with other women, that kind of just takes care of itself. You know what I mean? So, yeah, stay tuned for some big news in the next few weeks. Again, there's a Facebook page. I encourage you to check that out. If you're listening online, I encourage you to please click on the blue follow tab so that you become a regular follower and you get notifications of when the show is going to air. And I think that that's it. So I am going to bid you guys a good night. Thank you again for hanging out with me on this Wednesday night. That's it. I'm trying to make sure that I covered all the bases I talked about, you know, who's in your circle. Ask yourself that question. In your silent time, ask yourself, who's in my circle? And from as loving a position as you can, because one of the things that happens when you activate your SOS and you get that deep level of compassion for yourself, you're able to also have that deep level of compassion for others. But very, very, you know, gently and lovingly, look at the people in your circle, you know, without trying to vilify them or, you know, judge them harshly. But just look at what they bring to your circle. And in your quiet time, determine, you know, whether they are helping you to move forward closer to your goal and your dream or further away from it. That is just really as simple as that. It's really as simple as that. And then, you know, if you arrive at a place where you determine that you need to either modify your circle somewhat, eliminate it, or, you know, whatever you need to do with your circle, take that into the silence, too, and ask how. Ask how do I modify my circle? How do I change my circle? Because every answer that you need for everything that you need to do in your life is inside of you. And as you peel back these layers, as you do this work, every single thing that you need, every bit of information, every bit of wisdom, every bit of courage, everything you need, I'm telling you, all of it is inside of you, waiting for you to access it, waiting for you to call on it. And you can. You absolutely can. So with that, I'm going to say thank you again for hanging out with me on this Wednesday night, and I will be with you again tomorrow. See how excited I am about this stuff? I'm trying to do another show tomorrow night. No, the next show is next Wednesday night again. Next Wednesday at 7:30, same time, same place. And, encourage other women to check out the show, to give it a listen. And let's get this sisterhood conversation going. Let's make sure that as many women as possible get in on this conversation, because it's really about all of us elevating ourselves individually and then sisterhood collectively. So thank you again. Have a wonderful Wednesday. I'll be with you again next week. Have a fantastic weekend, and namaste. Peace.